Well, good morning, everybody. The reading that we had at the very beginning of Mass, our first reading, makes me think of a joke that Fulton Sheen used to tell. And he was talking about this priest who was talking forever about all the prophets. And there's five major prophets, there's 12 minor prophets, and the priest was given a reflection on all of them. And the guy had talked for an hour and a half and had only got through the third major prophet. And then he moved on, this priest. He said, and now we turn to the next major prophet, Daniel. Where shall I place Daniel? He's talking very esoterically. Where shall I place Daniel? And the guy in the back of the room said, he can sit right here, I'm out of here. But Daniel, as Father Matt Buning talked about last weekend, it's a bit of a different type of book. It includes all these visions and things. But the vision that we have today from Daniel is about the kingship of Jesus. And that's what all of our readings are ultimately about. I just wanted to reflect briefly on the kingship of Jesus, because there are some things that we know about Jesus as our king. The first one that we know is that he is a permanent king. Every other kingdom that ever was has fallen. Every other king, both the tyrants and those that people mistook for God, have died. It's just the nature of the beast. It's the nature of reality that nothing lasts except God. And Jesus is that king who is forever. As our second reading said it, the one who was and who is to come. Jesus is the permanent king. And it should give us solace to know that we can count on him. That it's not like he's going to get voted out of office tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. He's the permanent king. The second thing is that he's the universal king. We celebrate today, Jesus, the official name of today is the Solemnity of Our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. You know, Pilate in our first reading, he was speaking to what a lot of people thought was that Jesus was just the king of the Jews, of the Jews that lived in the Holy Land. But Jesus broke down every barrier there was, because before you know it, he was talking to the Hellenistic Jews, which were the Jews that lived outside of the homeland. And then he was talking to the Samaritans. And then he was talking to the Greeks and the Gentiles. The word Gentile means nation. And Jesus came for all of the nations, as our first reading from Daniel said. The one, like the Son of Man, received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. Which means that everybody, all the Gentiles, all the nations, come and have Jesus as their king. That scandalized everybody, especially the Jews that lived in the area where Jesus was born, the Palestinian Jews. Because it was unheard of that you would talk to these other types of people, especially the Gentiles, because the Gentiles didn't even have the Torah. They were a hopeless case. But Jesus broke down every barrier and said, I am here for everyone. That's why we call it the Catholic Church, the universal church, the church that is for everyone. You don't have to have a secret code to get in. You don't have to be born into it. Everybody's welcome. He's our universal king. He's also a supernatural king. He's permanent, universal, and supernatural. Supernatural, I say, because while he is the king here on earth, he keeps telling in our gospel today, look, my kingdom doesn't ultimately belong in this world. My kingdom is the not yet. My kingdom is the next life. And a lot of times we've gotten into trouble as Christians because we've tried to make his kingdom everywhere here. And that's heaven, not here. That kingdom, his kingdom, should influence this kingdom, the earthly kingdom. It should, and a lot of times people want to do it the other way, where they say, well, shouldn't the world influence the kingdom? No, because the world is crazy, and the world is fallen, and the world is filled with sin. We don't let that world influence and shape the kingdom of Jesus. That kingdom, his kingdom, should shape our world, make our world better. Supernatural. He's our supernatural king. He's also our legitimate king. I say that because he's God, and God has a legitimate authority over us. We don't much like the words too much these days, authority and obedience, because it strikes us as wrong to say that anybody should have authority over us, that we should have to obey anything. I decide what is right and what is wrong, thank you very much, not for anybody else. And freedom in our world is often seen as a license to do whatever we darn well please. The prodigal son understood freedom that way, which is why he ended up bankrupt and miserable in a swine. Our culture tends to think of freedom as no restraints, no limits, no constraints, no boundaries on me, unbounded as how I must be. But I want to analyze that way of thinking for a moment, because I think we understand how foolish it is if we think about it. Because even things like basketball, you have lines on the court. There are boundaries within which you play the game. And if you break the boundaries, the game doesn't make sense anymore. If you break the boundaries, you're out. I think about my fish tank as the glass walls are the limits, the rules, the boundaries. And if you didn't have them, you'd have a hot mess. I mean, the water would go everywhere and the fish would die. We have been given boundaries within which to live by the one who has authority to make them, and that is God. That is Jesus. He has legitimate authority to make the rules, to set the limits. And just as there are lines on the basketball court, there are lines in the moral life. And we do well to live within those lines. We call those lines a lot of different things. You might call them the teachings of what we call them, the teachings of the church. The Ten Commandments, we could think of those as lines. The precepts of the church. By the way, I thought we might review the five precepts of the church real quick, because I think a lot of people don't talk about the precepts anymore. The first precept of the church is you go to Sunday Mass every Sunday and every day of holy obligation. Number two, confession at least once a year. Three, you have to receive the sacrament of the Eucharist at least once during the Easter season. Four, you shall observe the days of fasting and abstinence established by the church. And number five, we shall provide for the material needs of the church. So those are the precepts. Those are the bare minimum requirements to live a moral life. They're lines on the court. We live within them, and we're better. I guess what I'm saying is this. Jesus' kingdom is not one of oppression. It's not like he makes the lines to oppress us. No, he makes them so that when we live within them, we have freedom. Sometimes one of my fish probably thinks, well, gee, I wish I could jump out. Look at all the world out there in the rest of the office. But you know what? If they did that, they would die. And I guess I'm here to say that happens with us too. Sometimes we look outside of these boundaries that Jesus has established as our king, and he has every legitimate authority to do so. And when we don't obey them, We think, oh, there's more freedom out there. Kaput. There goes our spirit. He's also our personal king, number five. And I guess this is the biggest one to remember. Because listen to Pilate in our gospel today. Pilate says, are you really the king of the Jews? And Jesus answers him, do you say this on your own, or have others told you about it? I guess sometimes we probably think, you know, maybe there's a human tendency to think, well, my priest believes that Jesus is the king, or my grandma believes that Jesus is the king, or my dad believes that Jesus is the king, my church believes that. But today Jesus looks at us square in the eyes and he says, do you believe it? Am I your king? Will you live your life, every bit of it, governed by me? Will you let me have authority in your life over everything? Can I be your king of everything? Your checkbook, your calendar, your Friday nights, the books you read, your family life, your friendships, everything. Can I be king of it all? And if he's not king of everything, he's king of nothing. And so he looks at us in the eyes and he says, I want to be your personal king. I am your personal king. Will you live accordingly? And I guess I'm here to say that life is a lot better when we live, when we live as Jesus invites us to live. When we truly reverence him as our king and let that govern everything and let him govern everything. We pray for Sister Joan at this Mass. She is home. Praise the Lord. However, she's not feeling so well. And she did. So we're thankful to God that she came out of her surgery very nicely and everything went well. It's just that, you know, it takes some time to recover from such a thing. And so we keep her in our prayers very much at this Mass and keep on praying for her. I'm sure she'll be back among us very soon. And that's what we pray for. Let's pray a Hail Mary for her. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.